Hey, everybody. Welcome in or welcome back to episode 3 of Audiobook Narration for Beginners, where I try to provide just a little information to you, the newest of the audiobook narrators out there, on how to build a solid career as an audiobook narrator. This is episode 3, week 3, Techs and Geeks and Nerds. Oh my. As always, we'll recap a little bit from our first two episodes. In episode 1, I shared a little bit from Sean Pratt and others of my coaching brigade on how to take the first step in becoming an audiobook narrator, and that's simply following Sean's method of that you could find on YouTube, going into a closet or other small, quiet space you may find around your home, getting yourself comfortable, and reading out loud a book you really like for 3 or 4 hours a day for about 2 weeks. I'm sure I'm off on a little of the details, but take a moment, Google YouTube, Sean Pratt, So You Want to Be a Narrator, and you'll find his video, and I highly recommend its viewing if you've not yet made the decision to jump into the narrating pool with both feet. And then last week, I shared my very myopic opinion on choosing a coach and making sure you obtain quality coaching before you hang a shingle. And here's a story I didn't share last week, but I probably should have. Coaching is necessary because, contrary to what many people believe, narrating an audiobook is not simply reading out loud into a microphone. And here's my favorite story to tell. Early on in my career, surf an ACX site for titles I'd like to audition for, I received a request to audition from a rights holder, got a message through the ACX messaging system. I looked at the title, I did a little bit of research on the author, looked for a website, find out the rights holder, decided I could, after doing my research, I decided I would be willing to produce the title, but it has to be either per finished hour agreement or at a minimum what's called a hybrid stipend agreement, where the rights holder would agree to pay for most of my post-production services, which includes proofing, editing, and mastering to ACX-specific standards. So in lieu of auditioning first, I replied to the audition request, informing them of that caveat. A lot of rights holders will select a decent per-finished-hour rate to advertise their title, but they'll also select royalty share as an option, and for many, the per-finished-hour rate is to entice auditions from quality narrators. Then they hope to then convince them to produce the title for royalty share. So having made it clear that I would only be able to produce under the two previous mentioned terms, I received a polite but somewhat terse response where the rights holder wondered why it would cost so much to simply read out loud into a microphone when the author had done all of the work already with their creation of the title. Now, I learned a long, long time ago, and as I mentioned before from my parents, that there's never a time not to be nice. So I took my time and wrote out a response, and I stated the following, and I'd see if I can pull it up here and read it to you. While it may seem that narration of an audiobook is simply reading out loud into a microphone from a small, quiet room, their words, I promise you there is much more that goes into the creation of a quality production. Before I go into the details of the time and money I've invested in quality coaching, equipment, and the creation of my very own quiet, small room, I wonder if anyone's ever asked you or any other author the following question. Why do you believe your story is any more special than the next one? And why do you believe it's worthy of being produced into an audiobook? After all you've done is take words that are already in the dictionary. Unless, of course, you're an author who's created your very own new world of lands and languages. And then you took those words already provided to you and typed them into a computer program or onto a sheet of paper, if you're very old school. Now, just because you arrange your words into a different order doesn't really make your book any more special than the next, does it? Sounds silly and fairly oversimplified, huh? But that's how it sounds to an audiobook producer or narrator who's accused of simply reading out loud. We learn to tell the story from the perspective of the characters you create. We want and need those characters to jump off of the page and into the ears of our listeners just as you imagine they would in your mind when you first wrote them. And we study hard to make sure we understand the characters from your point of view based on the descriptions you've provided within the pages of the manuscript. And we've invested time and money in quality coaching and education on the art of acting, the technology of creating that small, quiet room, and how to meet the standard asked for by the many places who are responsible for the distribution of that book when production is done. That's why we use others to check our work, just as you use others to edit your finished work to make sure there are no grammatical, typographical, or other errors that may crop up, and those people we team with are as important to the production of your audiobook as the person who narrates it and the person who actually wrote the manuscript. That's you. And it's this team effort that creates the type of work we all can be proud of at the end of your very busy day. Let me know if and how you might like to proceed. Now, needless to say, I did not get that job because they were looking for royalty share only, and they responded with a little better understanding of the process, and sharing information in a polite, professional manner, it's never a bad idea, I don't guess. Now, I'm not sure who ultimately produced the title. I moved on to my next opportunity, but I'm pretty sure this author has a better understanding of why production of an audiobook is so much more than simply reading out loud. But I also asked him very nicely, if you really just want royalty share, let people know that up front. If you don't have any intention of paying the per-finished hour rate, do everybody a favor and make it simpler. But let's move on. So we're no longer in Sean's closet. We've found some really good coaches and mentors, and now we need to make sure that whatever we produce is up to the standards that are appropriate for distribution into this ever-growing world of audiobooks. The technology is not something I really understand that well, as certainly not as well as others. And like coaches and mentors for performance and for running your business like a business, there are a number of high-quality humans who do understand the needs when it comes to creating that small, quiet space within which you will complete your work. YouTube will have several places you can go to get advice. You can always get free advice from Facebook groups and from large conferences, and you can also invest in a little time and money in private education from some very experienced audio engineer professionals. A few that I like to call upon are these, and in no particular order. Amanda Rose Smith, she has a website, amandarosesmith.com, and she does home studio consulting. Uncle Roy Yokelson, everybody's favorite uncle, of Antland Productions, and he can be found online at antlandproductions.com, and he too has a number of services he provides to many different genres of voice acting, including audiobook production. Dan Friedman of soundforvo.com, and he also provides a number of services to the VO industry, and he is also a very talented voice actor. And George Whittam, his site is georgethetech.com, and he's another top-of-the-line audio engineer specializing in services and assistance to voice actors anywhere, and I'm sure I haven't named them all. I also like to get a lot of my audiobook narration advice for tech issues from coach, mentor, and friend I've mentioned earlier, David H. Lawrence XVII, who employs what I call the KISS method, keeping it simple, stupid, when creating that small, quiet space to record in, especially when it comes to audiobook production. So for me, I created my own small space on one end of a walk-in closet of an upstairs bedroom here on the farm. I'm fortunate that I have no neighbors to bother me with their yard care items and schedules. If there's a leaf blower or a mower in my yard, I'm operating it, which means I'm not in the booth. And the only time my space gives me issues is if there's a steady downpour of rain or if the laundry's being done, because the washer and dryer are directly on the floor below my recording space. But I address most of that by recording during a time when the rest of the family's sleeping. So once I completed my space, the exact inside the booth dimensions are roughly 5x5, and inside my booth is my iMac, my microphone, an Audient ID22 interface, and that's it. Other than a home-built desk for everything to sit on and my chair, with arms removed to avoid unnecessary noise, the walls are covered in cheap carpet from a local big box store, one of those home improvement stores. It's blue and red, not orange. And acoustic foam panels about 4 feet by 2 feet. And after some tweaking by George Whittam and David H. Lawrence XVII, my sound hasn't appreciably changed to my knowledge in the last 5 years. I get an annual checkup from a selected engineer just to make sure everything's okay. And there is no need to upgrade anything or address any nagging issues that may crop up from time to time. And I pay very close attention to proofing sheets I receive from my proofers to make sure that any noise issues they identify are not issues with my booth and are routinely issues with my mouth, be it a wrong word or phrase or a popped P or a cracked C or K sound. And so far, I've been very fortunate. And equipment does not have to be overly expensive. I recommend a separate computer for production, but if you have a laptop, preferably with no fan to eliminate noise issues, you can bring in and out of the booth, it'll work. And some folks will use an iPad or other device to keep their computer out of the booth, and they operate it remotely from inside the booth. And quality microphones can be obtained without breaking the bank and can be plugged directly into the computer without the need for interface. Now, I won't waste your time trying to tell you what's best. I know what works for me, and you'll need to find what works best for you. But it should be understood that some investment in your equipment will be necessary in order to become a quality, sought-after audiobook narrator. I suggest investing time with an audio engineer who has experience with producing audiobooks and who has experience with home studio issues. I know specifically that David H. Lawrence XVII, while not an advertised audio engineer, is very well versed in all of the audiobook production issues you may face, as well as Amanda Rose Smith, who has many years' experience with audiobook production from the post-production side, in spite of her youth. I can say that because I think I'm pretty sure I've got socks older than Amanda, as well as Uncle Roy. I urge you, just like when you're selecting a coach for narration, research your audio engineers. Seek out those who have used their services and ask them about their experiences. You'll be so happy you did your work on the front end of your narration journey, as opposed to implementing a trial-and-error process that'll cause you long-term grief and suffering. So, with a little effort and a small investment in equipment and services, you'll be well on your way to creating those projects and producing the audiobooks you've longed for since coming out of Sean's closet. And with that, Miss Riley tells me the dogs need to be fed, so I'm headed downstairs to perform those duties that keep me grounded. From the farm, on behalf of Julie, Riley, and me, have a great week, and I look forward to episode 4, where we'll talk a little bit about finding work, creating profiles, and creating demos. Y'all be nice to each other, or I'll be forced to pull this podcast over, and ain't nobody gonna like that.